I'm here with Congressman Jeff Duncan. We are going to be talking about what just happened this morning, 10 o'clock. Congressman Jeff Duncan, how you doing today?
Well, I am. I'm doing okay. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting day here in Washington.
It is. Now, just out of curiosity, did you have any idea that it was going to go the way it went?
Absolutely not. And I think the surprise of the day was the fact that the Chief Justice, John Roberts, was deciding vote on the side that ruled this Obamacare legislation as being constitutional. Yeah, that caught us a lot by surprise. But you know what? They pointed out one very, very key factor here is that this is the largest tax increase in United States history. And those Democrats that supported this and who said over and over, including the president, this was not a tax increase, now that the court has pointed out that it is a tax increase, are they willing to defend that position and support it, or are they willing to repeal it and stand with us to replace it with free market solutions?
Have you heard any reaction from anybody on this, Jeff?
You know, I have within the Republican Conference, our leaders and individuals that have called our offices and what I've seen on Facebook and other things. And so, you know, from day one, Ann, when you were here in January of 2011, one of the first bills we voted on that day or the next day was to repeal Obamacare, something that we believe in. In fact, we've cast over 30 votes to either totally repeal or repeal different sections of Obamacare legislation. And with our goal of total repeal and replacement with free market solutions, that were solutions that do not put government between you as the patient and your doctor that's providing your health care, solutions that don't increase our nation's debt and deficit spending, solutions that do not rob $500 billion from Medicare, solutions that do not ration care for the most vulnerable of Americans, and that's our senior adults. We want to put real market solutions in place that allow the healthcare provider and the patient to make their healthcare decisions without government interference or saying when or what procedures they can have, whether they're medically necessary or not. That decision ought to be made by the doctor with the patient's consultation and not by the government.
Absolutely. Now, as far as far-reaching effects here, you know, if the Supreme Court is willing to say that it's a tax, they can tax you on the health care, I guess that means they can tax us to exercise or tax us to do just about anything, can't they?
Absolutely. It opens up a Pandora's box for what the government can or cannot tell you to do and penalize you for not doing or for doing. And so it's going to be interesting to see how we move forward. I think this is a wonderful opportunity for Governor Romney as he moves forward seeking the White House and Republicans trying to take control of the Senate and continue to control the House. It's an opportunity to point out all the flaws in Obamacare. It actually, the court has opened the wounds again for America to really understand all the things I mentioned earlier that Obamacare really is. You know, it does ration care. It takes $500 billion out of Medicare. It is a tax increase. It does add to our nation's debt. It does get the government between you and your doctors making health care decisions for you. And so we've got an opportunity to continue pointing that out. I don't think it bodes well for the president, although they're gloating right now over the decision. I think ultimately it will cost them the White House. And it is an opportunity for Governor Romney to champion true limited government, free market reforms.
Now, as far as in the upcoming weeks, is there anything that's going to be done, or is there just a standoff until either this fall or this first of the year?
Well, my understanding is we're going to come back after the July 4th break next week. You know, the nation's going to be celebrating 236 years ago. You know, what's so ironic about this? 1 week away from our celebration, 236th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, we see this as a total assault on individual liberty and individual sovereignty with Obamacare and what the Supreme Court upheld today. And so we come back after the 4th of July break as Americans celebrate the founding of this country. We will vote once again to repeal, total repeal of Obamacare out of the House, send that to the abyss, knowing the United States Senate, knowing that Harry Reid's not going to take that up and it'll go in file 13. But it will signal the intent purpose, I think, of the wave election in 2010 that put the Republicans in control of the House is to repeal this, what I still believe is unconstitutional piece of legislation that that should go away and be replaced with something different.
And can it be, since the Supreme Court, can it be repealed?
Absolutely. The court just upheld the law as it was written as constitutional. And, you know, based on the facts of the case, the suit that was brought, you know, we make the laws here, so we can repeal that and replace it with a different kind of law. There's nothing in the Constitution that says we have to provide health care to Americans. And you know, it was a law that was passed. We can repeal it just like we're going to repeal any law, and we can replace it, which we will replace it with something that's more, it will have some facets of free market solutions in there. To allow maybe insurance companies across state lines and provide different policies for South Carolina that they may provide in other states, and allow for more access, allow for compassion and like continuation of Medicaid and Medicare as we know it, without expansions of that. That's one thing the court did strike down, as an expansion of Medicaid. And so it's going to be interesting to see what we're able to pass through Congress. This is all about November right now. We're going to focus on putting a new president in the White House, because this president has basically overseen a tremendous government overreach, and we need to roll that back.
Absolutely. Now, of course, this afternoon, I understand that you're going to be voting on a contempt vote for Eric Holder. Is that correct?
Probably one of the easiest votes that I'll cast, because, you know, we issued, the Congress issued through its oversight responsibility and role, we issued a subpoena for certain documents that were being withheld by the Department of Justice. Now, you've said all the facts of Fast and Furious to the side. This isn't a, Fast and Furious is the issue of the day, but the contempt vote is on the fact that Congress issued a subpoena to the Attorney General, the highest legal authority in the land, who totally ignored that subpoena. Now, if the Attorney General can ignore a subpoena, and we allow that to go through, then what does a congressional subpoena mean? What does any subpoena mean after that? And so I think it's the right vote. They ignored it, and they failed to comply with that subpoena, provide the documents. And so we're going to hold them in contempt. We're going to go to the civil court, and the court's going to rule, I think, for the DOJ to release 80,000 pages of documents, so we can really get down to the bottom of the issue that caused Brian Terry to lose his life.
And what about invoking, President Obama invoking executive privilege over this? What do you get out of it?
Executive privilege, you know, has been used many, many times. George Bush used it. President Obama chastised George Bush for using, President Bush at the time, for using executive privilege for similar situations under the leaks with Libby. You know, what's amazing in all of this is the White House has been responsible for tremendous security leaks during their administration, and nobody's really talking about that. I disagree with his use of executive privilege. I say release the documents. Let's get to the bottom of this. You know, the question now beckons, who knew what and who knew what when? This really seems very similar to Iran-Contra. This seems very similar to Watergate. It seems very similar to a number of other investigations that have gone on where we ask those questions. Who knew what? Who knew what, and when did they know it? How high did it go? Who authorized the guns walking across the Mexican border without being tracked? And those guns were ultimately used to kill an agent of the Customs and Border Patrol. That's what the investigation is about, is how do we allow firearms to walk across the southern border in New Mexico into the hands of the drug cartel to ultimately be used to take American lives? That was wrong, and I think it's an assault or an affront on our Second Amendment rights. And we just want to get to the bottom of who knew what and when.
And one more question. Earlier in the week, of course, the immigration, the Supreme Court issued its decision on immigration. I find it unbelievable that the immigration office, the federal immigration office, is not going to be taking the calls from Arizona on issues. Can that be believed?
You should not be alarmed or surprised by anything that comes out of the Obama administration with regard to protecting the citizenship rights of people in this country that are here illegally, that are natural-born citizens, who are granting amnesty to illegals, who are continuing to allow a forced southern border, who will not take immigration issues and customs enforcement issues as one of the highest priorities, and will continue to to basically ignore laws passed by Congress and pick and choose which laws they're going to enforce. And so when the federal government fails to do any of that, the states, I think, have a responsibility, as Arizona tried to do, to say, look, if the federal government's not going to do this, then we're going to do it, because this is about our citizens in Arizona. This is about access to what citizens of Arizona pay for with their tax dollars, whether it's public education or health care services in the state of Arizona or within South Carolina. If the federal government's going to fail to do their job, the states have a responsibility. You know, I go back to Article 4, Section 4, which guarantees every state that joins the republic a republican form of government, which means that's what we have is a republic if we can keep it, according to Ben Franklin. But it also says it will guarantee and protect all the states against invasion. Now, we're being invaded by folks that are illegally coming into this country who haven't gone through the legal means. And the Obama administration wants to say, it's okay if you broke our law and come across our southern border. In fact, we're going to move you to the front of the line and go ahead and give you citizenship. Doesn't matter if you're going through the legal means and you're in line trying to get in this country. We're going to allow these illegals to get in front of you. It's just wrong, Ann, and we're going to continue to fight it. That's something I'm very, very passionate about.
I know you are. I know you are. And what effect will that have on South Carolina? I mean, weren't we part of that lawsuit, too?
We were. I mean, our law was mirrored after the Arizona law, and I don't know if they're 100% exactly alike, but it's definitely mirrored after that, and so I think South Carolina will be treated the same as Arizona now, and that ought to alarm South Carolinians that DOJ may, and the Customs Border Patrol and ICE may just ignore immigration laws when it comes to South Carolina, and so I think it's an interesting decision by the Supreme Court. I think they ruled wrongly on most of it, and you know, what responsibilities do the states have to protect citizens of those states?
Absolutely. Well, I know you're probably looking forward to getting out of Washington, but then you'll be back, you said, after July 4th. Is that right?
Yeah, we're just going to be gone. America, you know, basically slows down. It doesn't shut down, but it slows down to observe our national holiday, our Independence Day. And I hope Americans and South Carolinians that are listening to your radio show will pause to reflect on the founding documents, the Declaration of Independence, when we shook off the tyrannical government from England and decided we wanted to be one free nation, and that we wanted to put our rights in God and our individual liberties, and we wanted to uphold those. And then when we won that war, we came back 1787 and passed the Constitution of the United States, and we set forth three equal branches of government. And we're seeing an assault on that today with an expansion of the executive powers. I just hope Americans will step back and really reflect on what it means to be an American, what the American dream is, and what our founders really wanted to achieve when they set this form of government in place, and the fact that they wanted a limited central government, wanted more power resting with the states and ultimately with the people. That's really what it's all about, and that's what I'm championing here in Washington. That's limited government, and that's more individual liberties.
Absolutely. Well, Congressman Jeff Duncan, I certainly hope you'll keep up the good fight there, and I hope that we can have some results with the election coming up in November.
Well, I hope so as well, and I want to wish everyone a happy Independence Day, and be safe, and like I said, just focus on the founding of this country, and let's remember what it is to be an American and what America is all about.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for calling us, Congressman Jeff Duncan. God bless.
God bless you too, Ann. Thank you very much.
All righty. Bye-bye.